Hello, welcome back to our study through the book of Exodus. In our last few chapters, we've seen how God, through the plagues, these miraculous displays of his power over the Egyptian gods, has delivered his people, Israel, out of slavery in Egypt, how he brought them across the Red Sea while destroying the Egyptian army, and ultimately how in the wilderness they began to doubt God's ability to provide for him, and how God continued to provide for them in spite of the people's doubts. In the next few chapters in the book of Exodus, God brings the people to Mount Sinai, which is where he originally met with Moses in the burning bush and told him to go rescue his people out of slavery in Egypt. There, at Mount Sinai, God initiates a covenant with these people, the descendants of Israel. And in that covenant, he establishes blessings that he wants to provide for this people, things that he wants to do for them, but that he says are determined, are dependent upon them keeping his commands. So in our reading for this week, we come to Exodus chapter 20, which contains the most famous commands in all of Scripture, the Ten Commandments. Now, these Ten Commandments are the first listed commandments that God gives to the people of Israel after he establishes his covenant with them. And these commandments are essentially a very good summary of all of the other commands that are going to follow. Throughout the law, what's called the law of Moses, or the laws that God is going to give his people as a part of this covenant, there are in total over 600 commands. So a lot of reasons why people want to focus on these 10 commandments that we have in Exodus chapter 20 is because these are an excellent summary of the other commands and what specifically God wanted his people to do. But really, if we think about all of the commands, even these 10 commands, it really could be summarized down to two. In fact, Jesus in the New Testament is asked, what are the greatest commands in all of the law? And he himself says the greatest command is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second greatest command is to love your neighbor, your fellow man, as yourself. And even amongst the Ten Commandments, we can see how those Ten Commandments could really be summarized into two. Love God wholeheartedly with every part of your being, and to love your fellow man as yourself. Now this, to follow these commands would have been completely radical, would have been completely different from the way that most people lived during this time. To follow these commands would be completely different from how most people live their lives today in terms of, you know, how humans act and behave. Because what God was trying to do with his people is get them to be different, to live their lives in a different way. And so in Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 4, this is what God says to the people at Mount Sinai. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So God says, Moses, tell these people, look, you yourselves know that I brought you out of Egypt. He uses this figurative expression saying on eagle's wings. This gives this mental image of, you know how I swooped down, scooped you up out of your mess and rescued you from where you were. So God says, look, now here's what I'm telling you. If you can keep these commands, this is what I want to do for you. You are going to be my treasured possession above all people. You are going to be the one group of people above all that get a special relationship with me, the creator of the universe. And as a part of that, he says, I want to make you into a kingdom of priests. Now, as we go through and look at the Mosaic Law, we're going to see the establishment of the priesthood. The priesthood is necessary because people in their natural sinful state cannot just have a relationship with God. God is perfectly pure and holy, and he cannot tolerate even the presence of sinners. To do so would make him less holy. To do so would make him less than God. He has to remain pure. He is completely pure and holy, and so he cannot tolerate even the presence of sinners. And so the priest needs to be a go-between, a stand-in, a mediator, someone who can sort of bridge the gap to help the people to have some sort of relationship with God, though it's still not going to be the type of relationship that we would want because of our sin. And the priest himself is going to be a sinful man, so he cannot cause a perfect relationship, but he can serve as a bridge to be some sort of relationship. Well, God tells the nation of Israel, he wants them to be a kingdom of priests. In other words, as a nation, they are going to serve as a bridge between God and all of the rest of the nations of the world. Now, this concept of God wanting to work through one group of people to reach all of the groups of people is a concept that is established prior to this. In fact, if you go all the way back to God's promises to Abraham, and he tells Abraham, through you, I'm going to bless all of the families of the earth. Through your family, which I'm going to make a great family, a large amount of descendants, I'm going to bless all of the families on the earth. So through one family, all families will be blessed. Now God's expanding that here with the people of Israel, Abraham's descendants, by saying, through your nation, I want to bless all of the other nations. I want to allow you guys to be a kingdom of priests to mediate a relationship between myself and all of the nations. And then he says, you're going to be a holy nation. That concept of holiness as being separated from sin and dedicated completely to God. You're not going to be like all of the other nations. So really here, God is establishing for the people of Israel what type of nation they are going to be. Now you say, wait a minute, they've been freed. Why don't they get to decide for themselves what type of nation they want to be? Because they belong to God. He said, I bore you on eagle's wings. I rescued you. You did nothing to rescue yourself. I'm the one that put all these plagues on Egypt. I'm the one who parted the Red Sea so you could cross on dry land. I'm the one who's providing for you now in the desert every day with food and water that you have no idea where it comes from or how it gets there. So God says, you're going to establish your nation on the principles that I decide that you will. And so he says, you will, if you could follow these commands, you will become that kingdom of priests that can bridge the gap between myself and all of the nations, and you will be a holy nation, different. That's a part of being a kingdom of priests, right? The priest can't help people get closer to God if he's not like more like God himself. And so these commands that we see in Exodus chapter 20 are given to the people of Israel to help them to see what a kingdom of priests, what a holy nation looks like, how to live according to these principles. There is never a point in time that these commands were meant to be a pathway to salvation or the steps to life that someone needs to live. In fact, the Israelites have already been saved from slavery in Egypt. So these commands are given after they've been saved from slavery in Egypt. This is not the pathway to their salvation, not in a literal, physical sense or in a spiritual sense. In fact, these commands were ultimately designed to point them to the one who could provide ultimate salvation. Just with the first command, God says, you should have no other gods besides me. No other gods, period. I'm the only God that is to be there. So this is not some, you know, if you work hard enough, you can earn your way to me. No. This is God trying to establish for the people the principles of what being a holy nation looks like, as well as hopefully, eventually, the idea is to see, as the Apostle Paul will tell us in the New Testament, that when you begin to look at these commands, you will realize that it is impossible impossible to keep all of these commands. Is it possible to keep all 600 of the commands in the Old Testament? It's possible to keep even these 10 commands. It's impossible to keep even the two greatest commands that Jesus said are the two greatest commands. It's impossible because of our sin. We need someone who can free us from the hold that sin has on our hearts so that we can live in the way that God wants us to live. So the Ten Commandments really could be thought of as the end goal of this process of sanctification that God's working in our hearts. That once we have been made complete, this is the way that we will live our lives. This is what we attempt. This is what we work toward. Not to earn salvation and not in our own power, but it is still the goal. It was the goal for the people of Israel, and it should be the goal for us nonetheless. And Moses said to the people in Exodus 20, verse 20, the key verse in this chapter, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." And in that key verse, Moses gives the people the pathway to how they are actually going to keep these commands. It is through the fear of the Lord. It is not through the efforts of man. It is not through the willpower of man. It is not through political, social, economic change. It is not through a different understanding of history. It is not through finding equality. It is going to come through the fear of the Lord. And that is a concept that stands the test of time, that stands still true for us today. If we are going to be a people as Christians, Peter says that we also could call ourselves a kingdom of priests and a holy nation because we can help others in our world to have a relationship with God the same way the Israelites could. We also should be different from the world, should be separate from sin and dedicated fully to God. And we also can accomplish this through the fear of the Lord, through resting our lives, abiding in Christ, resting our lives on the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, and not trying to just earn some sort of pathway to God. As we go forward in the book of Exodus, we're going to see that the people of Israel failed to understand these commands. They failed to understand their purpose. They failed to understand their intent. They failed to understand their overall goal. And because of that, we're going to see the people of Israel struggle in the next couple of chapters in the book of Exodus. But for today, hopefully something was said that has ministered to your heart. Hopefully you can receive these truths, apply them to your life, and share them with other people. Thank you, and God bless.